A big American pharmacy chain decides it is not a good idea to be seen as a tax dodger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news in the last hour that Walgreens, the big drugstore chain, has abandoned the idea of moving its tax headquarters from the U.S. to Switzerland. This would have been a huge example of what are called inversions, controversial but presently legal maneuvers to lower U.S. tax bills. Walgreens is, however, going ahead with a $10 billion deal to buy full control of the pharmacy chain Boots, which has a real headquarters in Britain but a tax headquarters in Switzerland. Arash Masoodi has been following this for the Financial Times. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Walgreens of America and Boots of Switzerland and the UK will merge, but why do you think that after all, Walgreens has abandoned the idea of moving its tax home to Switzerland?
What's been announced today is that they will not bow to shareholder pressure to invert and effectively lower its corporate tax rate. Shareholders had been pushing Walgreens to explore such a deal. But tax inversions, as people following the business pages across the U.S. would know, are a topic du jour. And there's been increasing political pressure to not pursue such deals. Walgreens, based in Illinois, has also seen some pressure in its home market. So the theory here and the thought from people working close to the situation is that if you're a consumer-facing company, this is not the right way to go and could really upset your customers.
Consumer-facing, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but I'm imagining the fear in the boardroom there that when somebody needs Band-Aids or vitamins or foot spray, you know, and they're looking at Walgreens, the people who are avoiding U.S. taxes potentially, or they look over at rival, say, CVS, which is not doing that, they're worried that maybe some of the customers would go to the rival.
Now, what's interesting is we've seen a ton of tax inversions from that healthcare and pharma space, companies with names such as AbbVie, which is another U.S. company which has acquired a company here called Shire, have faced a lot less political scrutiny because they're not as well known to customers. But there is a theory that if you are a big household name, then the risk is significantly higher for you in pursuing these tax-driven deals.
Arash Masoodi with the Financial Times, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And even as Walgreens changes tax strategy, two other potential corporate mergers have just fallen apart. One is in the mobile phone industry. Sprint will not buy T-Mobile after all. Sprint's CEO is losing his job. Among the concerns, whether antitrust regulators would have allowed it. And Rupert Murdoch's Fox has just announced that the company's not going to keep trying to buy Time Warner. When mergers don't happen, financial services middlemen and middlewomen don't get their fees, and the mergers that weren't are being seen as a dark day on Wall Street. We do not live in an era of privacy. Marketers know where we've been and what we're buying. The NSA and Google may be reading our email, and hackers are so brazen that no data seems safe. In fact, there's news in the last day that Russian hackers have stolen 1.2 billion usernames and passwords. Beyond that, what about our children? Data gathered by their schools, the states, and the education tech companies clamoring to get into the digital classroom. Some parents are unnerved. Politicians are reacting. And over the last year, more than 100 new laws governing student data have been introduced. As Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, all this drama has companies worrying as well.
In New Hampshire, the state collects basic data about kids: name, race, gender. It also tracks how many days they were suspended from school, whether or not they are homeless. But under its new law, the state can't collect information about a kid's body mass index or whether she's pregnant. It can't gather kids' email addresses. And that's just New Hampshire. Amy Gadara heads the Data Quality Campaign, a nonprofit that's tracking student data laws.
States have taken a huge step forward in the last 2 years of really strengthening their capacity to safeguard data.
There are already federal laws in place to help protect student records. But as technology advances, a lot of states want more. Idaho, for example, rules out some data collected by analyzing brain waves and heart rate. New York calls for a parent's bill of rights for data privacy and security. Kentucky says student data can't be used to target ads to kids. So far, more than 20 states have passed laws, and that's just the beginning.
Our sense is we're going to see a growth in the number of pieces of legislation introduced next year.
A lot of this legislation is being driven by fear about who's collecting what data, how it's being used, whether it's safe. The rush to make law is also creating fear among educational technology companies. Mark Schneiderman heads up education policy at the Software and Information Industry Association.
Some of the requirements provide real practical challenges to their ability to serve their customers.
In other words, it's making it hard for companies who want to get their apps into classrooms across the country and cash in on the multi-billion-dollar market for educational technology.
We've heard it from developers who are now shying away a little bit from the education sector.
In tech-centric California, state legislators have been trying to find a way to keep everybody happy.
We think we found the sweet spot here.
Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg has proposed a law that'll let app developers use student data to improve their products, but not to market to students.
We're not trying to stifle this technology. To the contrary, we want more apps to help more kids.
Right now, he says, there are too many weak privacy policies, too much free rein for companies collecting data about kids. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Adrienne's beat at Marketplace is technology and the classroom. You can see all of our Learning Curve coverage at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.